Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Well, as everybody's making their way back into the sanctuary, you know, we've been bragging on God a lot lately. And if you were here last week, you heard that my father went from complete renal failure and having to have lifelong dialysis with a PICC line to a full restoration of his kidney function and them removing the PICC line. They actually had to report that in the OU medical journal. They listed it as anomalous because they can't call it a miracle, so they have to say it's an anomaly. But we all know who did that, right? Jesus heals, right? And then I mentioned last week that he's been in and out of the hospital lately, but it's because his pancreas, which has been dead for, he's had type 2 diabetes for 30 years. And now his pancreas is working again. And so he has to take less insulin. So let's praise God for that. But what I forgot to mention was, so there's healing, but you guys know that in the book of Hebrews, it talks about how by faith, they obtained the promises of God. By faith, they quenched the violence of fire. So last week we found out that the cases, and they're not here today, but the cases, the paces, they had a fire come on their property and they let the church know immediately. So when we talk about the blue cards and we say, put your prayer request on a blue card, put your praise report on a blue card, we have stacks of the requests and we have stacks of the answers. And right now the requests are this big because the answers are this big and we keep them, don't we? Right? Prayer requests turn into praise reports when you believe God. So the Paces, David and Mandy Pace, they had a fire come towards their property. And so it looked really, really scary. As it turns out, the fire burned around their property and didn't touch anything. So I'm just bragging on Jesus, right? I'm bragging on Jesus. Listen, we live in a fallen world. We're talking about it. We're talking about Ecclesiastes. But in the midst of the fallen world, we are kingdom people. And if we live in kingdom principles, the Holy Spirit will help us to navigate this fallen world walking in victory. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. But don't get cynical. Be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. Amen? So let's praise Jesus for it. Come on. So having said that, and Melissa's in here today. Well, and let's do this. Mama Marnie, she's home. Mike and Marnie Scobie, they're home because she's overcoming a little bit of an injury and stuff. So let's just say hi to them. We miss them so much. It's weird. Not, but they are watching online. And so we love you guys and we miss you. And we're believing for a speedy recovery. Yeah, come on. We're believing for a speedy recovery. And we can't wait for the praise report. But Melissa is in here, so I'm gonna try to make this brief. So what happens if you get smacked at high frequency? It hurts. I saw the sigh. Okay, what about this one? Why do cows have hooves instead of feet? Because they lactose. Chaplain, don't look at me in that tone of voice. All right. Let's posture our hearts. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, help us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for your precious, holy, written word. We thank you that it's your word that's a lamp unto our feet, that it's your word that's a light unto our path. And we thank you that it's your spirit that's our teacher today, that I'm a vessel for pouring, and these, your sheep, are vessels for receiving in this moment. and it's your spirit that teaches us. And he doesn't just give us information. It's not a show. He brings revelation that makes available transformation. And we declare and set our faith that we will receive both comfort and conviction from your word today. And as we're doers of your word, we'll be blessed in all that we do. And we thank you for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So we're picking up where we left off. We're in, number 5 of What's the Point? We're going through a series about Ecclesiastes, right? So again, we're just going to go over a little bit of review in order to give you context. Why would we worry about context? Because we follow rules of biblical interpretation. Why do we follow those rules? Because you don't decide what the Bible means. You discover what it means. You discover what it means by following those rules. Amen? So we're going to give you a little context. So you remember, we started in Ecclesiastes, and he comes right out of the gate. Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, the wisest man that ever lived besides Jesus. Right out of the gate, he comes out, vanity of vanities. Life has no meaning. It's senseless. It's nonsense. And at the outset, you're like, whoa, this is in the Bible? And so what we did was we had to skip to the last chapter, right? To understand that he's making a point. He's making an argument. He's making a point. And we skipped to the last chapter and we saw the conclusion of the whole deal is the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. It's man's all. He makes the statement that when God is in his proper place, even though we live in a fallen world, life has meaning and purpose. And God can take the bad things that happen in life and turn them to your good. It gives life purpose and meaning and sense. But without God in his proper place, your perspective is skewed and life actually doesn't make any sense, doesn't have any meaning, and you will not find fulfillment in any of the mundane things. But when you put God's sauce on it, the awesome sauce of God, all of a sudden, the crummy ratatouille, it tastes delicious. And those mundane things become blessings. So we skip to the end just to show you that he's making a point. Then we went back and looked at the arguments that he makes. So he starts out talking about, we learned that neither nature or history stops repeating. Right? The rain falls on the mountain, drains into the valley, drains into the sea, gets evaporated up into the sky, and it does it all over again, and again, and again, and again. And so there are people that'll say, well, just to exist, you know, life found a way. But just to exist, if it doesn't stop repeating, we found it's not the point. Existence isn't the point. It's the platform for something. History is the same way, time. Right? These are fancy, archaic ways of talking about time, space, and matter. Existence. Ontology, right? But existence in and of itself, just to exist as a point, it carries no meaning. Because it just keeps repeating. We saw that neither history nor nature will stop repeating because just to exist isn't the point. Existence is the platform for you becoming the person that God created and redeemed you to be. It's a framework for something larger and bigger. So then he moves on from existence to knowledge. Well, maybe knowledge, that's you know, it's the point, you know, to enlightenment. Everybody say enlightenment, right? That's the catchy word. I'm just going to be enlightened, right? The problem is without revelation knowledge, without God in his proper place and you with a proper perspective of God, without revelation knowledge, all of our knowledge is going to end up being partial and fragmented and flawed because science, the word science means knowledge. Science, there's nothing wrong with science, but science can only report. It can never tell you why. It cannot give you meaning. It can only tell you what. Yeah. but not why. And that's why he ended by saying, with much knowledge, there's much grief, because you can be the smartest person in the world, but without that revelation knowledge, without the missing piece of God and eternity, and understanding that we live in light of eternity, you're doomed to be frustrated because you will never have all the answers. Are you with me? So then he moves on to pleasure, you know? And he's very skillful. He moves on to pleasure. And he says, what about pleasure? Because, you know, you can see it on billboards and you see it on bumper stickers and people say it all the time. You only live once, you know, YOLO, And again, that's part of the truth. It's part of the truth, but it's not the whole truth. Are you with me? Oh, you got to die of something. That's such asinine fatuity. Please. Are you with me? Because pleasure, you're never going to, see, here's the thing, the human condition, because we're born in a fallen world and because we are flesh, we are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body, that body is flesh, and that flesh is an addict. You are an addict. You are. Absolutely. Oh, I'm not, Pastor Will. You want to bet? All of us, in one way or another, it's never going to be enough. He says, he goes on to say, the eye is not filled with seeing, the ear not filled with hearing. You can't get enough sex. You can't get enough high. You can't get high enough, drunk enough, stoned enough, sexed enough, full enough. You can't ever get enough. You're always going to want more and you're always going to need more. And the more you need, the more you look for, and then you become a slave to what it's supposed, pleasure is supposed to be a part of your life. It's not supposed to be the heart of your life. Come on, somebody. Did God create pleasure? Yes, and in its proper place, when God's on his proper place, his throne and his proper place in your life, pleasure is a gift from God. But pleasure as a point, it makes promises it can't keep, and it binds you. Yeah? So then we get this ray of hope, right? We start to see these rays of hope as he starts to look at these reasons for existence. And then it's like on a cloudy day. Ecclesiastes is like, especially in the very beginning, it's like going outside on a really cloudy day and it's dark and it's cloudy and it's gloomy. But then every once in a while, the clouds will open up and you'll see sun rays. Sunshine. So he starts to see the sunshine and he starts to connect the dots and he goes, well, it's not existence and it's not knowledge and it's not pleasure. And then he has this revelation. But I see that with all the fallenness and with all the toil and with all the trouble, nothing is better than that a man should eat and drink and enjoy the fruit of his labor. It's a gift from God. See, so those things that we strive for and we fight for, when you make God the point and you becoming the person he created and redeemed you to be, when you make your priorities godly and God takes the seat, the throne of your life, and your perspective shifts from the secular to the eternal, then even those little mundane things become gifts in your life. A hard day's work doesn't be, I'm just busting my butt out here every day. No, you come home, you enjoy your food. You sit on the tailgate after picking oranges all day and you eat your Lay's salt and vinegar potato chips or sour cream and onion potato chips, right? I remember one time me and my daddy, we were working orange groves. He used to own a bunch of orange groves, and when we were kids, we would work all day on a Saturday. And then we would go out and he would take us to Circle K in Florida. They're called Circle K's. And you would get a big gulp, or not a big, is it a big gulp? It's a big gulp, right? So he would take us and he'd get us a big gulp and a bag of chips. And I always got either salt and vinegar or sour cream and onion. And I love those things. And we would sit out there dangling our little feet off of the tailgate, you know, just happy as all get out. We worked hard, but it was enjoyable and we enjoyed it. Right? And remember that time we had this thing, they used to have this thing on the bag of chips that said, you can't eat just one. Yeah. You remember we did that, Dad? He dared me. He said, if you can only eat just one, I can't remember what it was. I'll give you $5 or something. He was going to give me something. It was it was that Cobra. It was that G.I. Joe, that G.I. Joe jet or whatever it was. And he's like, if you can only eat just one, I couldn't do it. It took about 15 minutes. And I was like, I don't need that stinking jet. I'll get another jet. I'll ask mom for the jet. Anyways, so having said that, then last week, so then what he does is he sees this ray of sunshine and then he goes, but then he looked at injustice. He moves into injustice and he says, things can be good in life and God can be on the throne and we can experience the blessings of God, but it doesn't change the fact that life isn't fair. Right? And any parent in here knows that. That's not fair. What do you say? Life isn't fair. Right? So how do we handle that? And we talked about this last week, but understand that justice, because he's pointing out that like law, because there are some people that'll be like, well, we're not, and we talked about this last week. He draws the illustration in the scripture. There's justice, and then there's God put us on earth to show us that we're no different than the animals, right? Apart from God, apart from eternity, you're no different than an animal. And in some of our institutions, they try to teach you that that's all you are is an animal. Funny how it is that when we use pseudoscientific jargon like alpha male, right? Why am I even, I know, hold on a second. Let me just get into this for a second, okay? This whole stupid thing about alpha male and beta male and blah, 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 and blah, blah. I double dog dare you to go look that up. That was a study done in the 70s on wolves. It's got nothing to do with human behavior. They studied wolves. And then they took that and superimposed it upon male human behavior. And if you tell somebody that they're a dog, why would you be surprised when they act like one? It's pseudoscientific jargon. There's no such thing as an alpha male and a beta, not in humanity. There's a such thing as there are 9 different characteristics that every person carries. We have different personality types. Some of us are more assertive. Some of us are less assertive. Some of us are extroverts. Some of us are introverts. We're put together that way because we're meant to be a part of something called the body of Christ. And everybody can't be an eye and everybody can't be a finger. We're made to be different. But as long as we take eternity out of the picture and we start looking at animals, right? So then you've got law versus hedonism. And what he said is it doesn't matter how good the justice system is. I love America. I'm a patriot. I love our country. I would die for my country. My father almost did. And my grandfather. And his father and grandfather before him. I love this country. But our justice system is not perfect. And if justice was the point of life, you're doomed to be frustrated. Because we're human. And we've seen falsely accused people be incarcerated. And we've seen people that should have been incarcerated go free. And so as a point and purpose of life, law ain't it. Are you with me? So that was last week. Our justice comes from God. Justice, true justice, doesn't come from men. Because we're just like the animals. True justice comes from God. So then he moves on, and that's where we're going to pick up this week. Now, Mama Marnie and Mike, I need you guys to sit down. I don't want you falling down because I'm about to say something that'll make you fall out of your chair. We're going to read from the Good News translation of the Bible today. Now, before you go crazy, I took some advice from my good friend Jason Sullivan, you know. Let me just say this. You know, there's a lot of times that I talk about the New King James or whatever. We're not one of those. You know, there are certain people that are like, oh, King James only, or this Bible only, or this Bible. It's not the translation of the New King James, okay? I don't think that that is the best translation ever. However, I'm going to geek out on you a little bit. the source text is the best that we have. And the New King James happens to be the only modern Bible that's based on that source text currently. And that text, the Masoretic, and that version of the Greek text is actually the best and truest and most reliable source text of all of the Bibles. And so I'm geeking out a little bit, but you'll understand when I say I'm using the Good News Translation because it actually uses that same Old Testament text. It's the Masoretic text. And so I'm not breaking my own rules. We're following rules here. It's a trustworthy text, but the Good News Translation does a really good job of helping us to follow the pacing of the Masoretic text in a way that we can understand what's actually being said and we don't get confused. It's not a word-for-word translation. It's a dynamic equivalent, but it does help us to kind of follow along with what the Hebrew is saying so we don't get confused. Because sometimes with Elizabethan English, wherefore the rather, brethren, what in the heck does that even mean? You know what I mean? So, all right. And the purpose of the translation is for you to understand. Amen? So we're going to pick up where we left off. And I want to tell you this. I want to say this. I'm going to preface this a little bit. He talked about injustice, and then he moves in this portion of Scripture, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 is what we're going to read. He looks at power. Power as the purpose for existence. Power as the purpose, the meaning of life, just to get as much power as you want. Now, there are two sides to the coin of power. One side is oppression, and the other side is success. But it's the same coin. It's power. And I we'll walk that out as we go. So we're going to pick up in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 1. He says, "Then I looked again at all the injustice that goes on in this world. The oppressed were crying, and no one would help them. No one would help them because their oppressors had power on their side. I envy those who are dead and gone. They are better off than those who are still alive. But better off than either are those who have never been born, who have never seen the injustice that goes on in this world." So what have we here? Now, we just saw that there's sunshine. He says nothing is better than that a man should eat and drink and enjoy the fruit of his labor. It's a gift from God. So he's not saying, so again, this is an under the sun statement. He's looking at power and oppression and saying, without God, without the eternal, without eternal perspective on your life, there are some people that are born to oppressed nations and in oppressed ethnic groups. And they, if there wasn't an eternity, if there wasn't something on the other side of eternity, it actually would be better if they were just never born because of the suffering they go through. I'm going to show you later on, suffering is just a part of life. The oldest book in the Bible, the book of Job, it's the first book that was ever written, and it was written about how we navigate suffering in a fallen world by relating to God properly. Right? Back to what Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But we're not going to dance around up here. I love the Bible. It's so honest. He is so raw and true. For some people, life is a living hell. Now, I've suffered, and I know all of you have had some suffering. But there's a level of suffering that apart from the eternal, it would be better if you were never even born. Because what did your life amount to? Pain, grief, sorrow, suffering. And he's really honest about it. He's honest about it. Look, oppression creates suffering. And there are people that are oppressed in this world today. Now, there's an answer. We'll get to the answer. But we got to stop and talk about the problem. Right? Dancing around like a magical pixie horse and believing that everybody is blessed and all you have to do is have enough faith and all of that. There are people that had lots of faith that are still very, very oppressed. So power can't be the point because the very power that you're seeking can be used to cause suffering. So it can't be the point. See it? Now, the other side of this is the people that are wielding that power, the people that typically oppress other people, it's really because we all have a human interest in success. They're trying to succeed. They're trying to be successful. They're just doing it at the expense of you. But again, if we're all animals, then why wouldn't I? Right? Are you with me? So now let's look at this. So he goes on. Ooh, it's quiet in this Pentecostal church. Watch this now. This is the success piece. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, picking up in verse 4. I have also learned why people work so hard to succeed. It is because they envy the things their neighbors have. Ooh. Ooh. So do you want to, so again, success as a point of life. That's what we're talking about. Under the sun. If you take God out of the equation and you just want to be successful and get all you can and have all you can, let's read through it and then I will exegete. I have also learned why people work so hard to succeed. It is because they envy things that their neighbors have. But it is useless. It's like chasing the wind. Question, if you chase the wind, can you catch it? Never gonna. They say that we would be fools to fold our hands and let ourselves starve to death, and maybe so, but it is better to have only a little with peace of mind than to be busy all the time with both hands trying to catch the wind. Here is someone who lives alone, has no son, no brother, yet he is always working, never satisfied with the wealth he has. For whom is he working so hard and denying himself any pleasure? This is useless too, and a miserable way to live. Right? How many people you know? I know people, got the house, got the boat, got the car, lost the wife, lost the kids, lost everything. Are you with me? It's not the walls that make the home. It's the people. Are you with me? And people will strive, and it's never, and that's the other thing too, it's never going to be enough. Especially if you've got that eye on what they've got. Right? And we live, remember, we live in a dog-eat-dog world, remember? It's a dog-eat-dog world. Apart from eternal perspective, yeah, we might as well just be animals. And it's get all you can, make all you can, right? Come on, somebody. Yeah? The problem is it won't satisfy you. It'll never, ever be enough. There will always be somebody with a bigger mansion. There will always be somebody with a bigger boat. There will always be somebody with a nicer car, right? Are you with me? Or smarter kids, right? Let's be careful that we don't do this with our kids too. It's important that we understand we don't do this with our kids. Our kids are not trophies. The people. And our job is to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, because the purpose of life, and that's the other thing too, yes, I will, thank you, Lord Jesus. The purpose of life is not for you to set your kids up for success. The purpose of life is not for you to set your children up for success. The purpose of life is to set your children up for salvation. Success is just a byproduct of that. Success is a byproduct of that. Are you with me? You get them saved and you let God bless them. And as he blesses you, you will bless them. But salvation comes first. Are you with me? Now that's for somebody today, because that's not in there. Are you with me? So we need to worry a little more about our kids' relationship with Jesus and a little less about what their ACT score is going to be, or whether their homework is done, or whether they loaded the dishwasher. Okay? That's just free. Going to put that out there. Ask me how I know. I know. Because I'm stupid. I've made some big mistakes. Are you with me? But God is faithful. So let me just tell you this too. This isn't even... Yes, Lord, thank you. I will. So you parents in the room, listen to me now. You're not enough. You're not. And you ain't never gonna be. You're like that little boy with the two loaves and the fish. Are you with me? And your job every day is to take what you have, knowing that it's not enough, and offer it to Jesus and let him bless it. And when Jesus blesses what you have, he makes it more than enough. Amen. But again, we said we live in a dog-eat-dog world, right? And the top dog is always lonely, right? And that's the point that he was making here in chapter 4. The point that he was making was that it's lonely at the top. You guys have all heard that, right? I'm saying things that they say in the world. What have I been doing? I've been just quoting the world. YOLO, you only live once. They say this, right? Dog-eat-dog world, they say that, right? Get all you can, you know what I mean? They say all of this. You see it everywhere, all the time. Life isn't fair. They say all these things. They also say it's lonely at the top, right? Yeah. Heavy is the crown, right? Why? Well, there is a solution. You ready for the ray of sunshine? Because he moves right into in the next verse. Everybody say, read the next. For I love you guys, man. Watch this. The answer to oppression, the answer to success, right? It's companionship. We were created to be in communion with others. This life is the platform for you becoming the person that God created and redeemed you to be. And you cannot be that person without having real companionship and relationship. People before things. Relationship is the point. To be is to be in communion. None of us are an island. Watch this now. Two are better than one because together they can work more effectively. If one of them falls down, the other can help him up. But someone is alone and falls, it's just too bad because there's no one to help him. And you might think, well, that's not true. I mean, somebody's going to eventually. Nah, did you guys see that? The crazy, it freaked me out, man. I had to go outside in the open air. This dude fell into this hole. He's climbing in this like rock or whatever. He gets stuck face down in this thing. And he was stuck there for like 36 hours and then ended up passing away because nobody knew he was down in the hole. He didn't have a friend with him. And that'll preach. Let me tell you something right now. Before you go digging down in a hole you shouldn't be in, you better tell somebody. You don't hide that stuff. If you're in a place you ought not to be, or you're going places you ought not, you need accountability. You need somebody in your life that can say, knock it off. You need that. Otherwise, you get taken out. Watch this now. If it's cold, two can sleep together and stay warm. But how can you keep warm by yourself? Two people can resist an attack that would have defeated one person alone. A rope made with three cords is hard to break. Right? New King James says, a three-strand cord is not easily broken. Right? Now, we use that scripture a lot of times about marriage. And it does apply to marriage, but first and foremost, it's about friendship. It's about relationship. Every relationship. You and me with God in his proper place, that's a three-strand cord Are you with me? Yeah. And so when God has his proper place in your life, then he takes his proper place in your relationships. And when you include him in all of your relationships, those relationships become strong. And those cords will bind you and help you and keep you. And then someone who wants to be very successful. There is a calling to be successful. There's a calling to be successful. There's a calling. I'm talking to you. There's a calling to be successful. But that calling isn't about you with God in his proper place. That calling is about kingdom purpose. Yeah. Kingdom purpose. Kingdom connection. Right? And with God in his proper place, you form those bonds and the kingdom, his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? And that's, I'm going to close there today by pointing this out. The three-strand cord. As they come up, I'm going to read a few scriptures to you. Watch this, Acts chapter 5. We've been talking about oppression. We've been talking about success, those things as a purpose and a meaning for life, and how apart from God, none of those things will satisfy. All of those things are like chasing after wind. Never going to be enough, never going to do enough, never going to have enough. But when we understand what's truly important is people and relationships, watch this now. Acts chapter 5. And they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple, in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as Christ. They were oppressed. They did not have the power. I love how the King James and the New King James actually translates this. I think that it is a better translation. It says, they went unto their own. They left the council and they went unto their own. They had people. And they were oppressed and they were punished and they did suffer, but they didn't suffer because of their own foolishness. They didn't suffer because of their own disobedience. They didn't suffer for their own, they suffered for Christ's sake. And they counted themselves blessed. And they banded together and they stood against the oppression. What's the answer for the oppression in the world? For you and I to be a three-strand cord and for us to join forces and stand against it. Bring kingdom to bear. Are you with me? Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17. That's where I'm going to end today. You got Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And they're standing for God. And Nebuchadnezzar says, you're going to bow. You're going to bow. And they said, mm-mm. Well, if you don't, I'm going to throw you into that fire. You're going to do as I say. I'm going to kill you. Their response was, if that's the case, our God, who we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship gold image that you have set up. They said, you know what? I'm believing that I don't have to go in the fire. And a lot of times, because of our expectations, a lot of times we get disenfranchised, even as Christians, because we do, guys, live in a fallen world, and you're going to be tribulation, and you're going to be oppressed. And our answer to that is to band together, to stand together, to stop fighting one another over whether you go under or whether you get sprinkled or whether this or whether that. We're fighting with one another. Meanwhile, the world is going to hell in a handbasket and they're oppressed, and we should be banded together and bringing kingdom to them and walking as a three-strand cord, right? Focusing on where we do agree and trying to get people saved, filled with the Spirit and grown up spiritually. Watching kingdom principle happen, bringing the eternal to bear on the temporal, and watching the temporary things change by the power of God in people's lives. Amen? They said, even if he doesn't, right? There's a lot of times that I believe God that I wouldn't have to go into the fire, but I ended up in the fire. Wasn't a lack of faith on my part, and it wasn't that God failed me. It was because that fire refined me, and it showed people, others, who my God is. And notice, they banded together. They didn't turn on one another. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They didn't turn on one another. If you're going in the fire, I'm going in the fire with you. We need to be that way with one another, man. If you're gonna go through the fire, I'm gonna go with you. I'll go with you. Because you know what? The Bible says, Jesus said, where two or more gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That means right up in the middle of them. I'm right there with them. We need to be willing to walk through the fire with one another and stop worrying about success and start worrying about significance. A life that's significant will be successful, but not every successful life is a significant one. Amen? And the end of that story was, Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire. Didn't we put three dudes in there? Do you see that? That dude is God. That's God. Maybe some of the fire that you're going through today, maybe some of the fire that you're going through today is to show the people around you. Not how holy you are, how much faith you have. Maybe it's to show them how much God loves you and how much God loves him, and that he'll show up, not just before the fire, he'll show up in the fire. And when they came out of the fire, they didn't even smell like smoke. You're gonna come out of your situation and it's gonna be better on the other side. And it's not going to have any negative effect on you, because the Bible says in Romans, he works all things to the good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. But you have to keep Jesus in his proper place. Amen? Bow your heads with me. You're here today. There's distance between you and God. You know it. He's been dealing with you about it. Your perspectives have been skewed. You've allowed Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and YouTube and all these voices to skew your vision on God, on you, on life. And you realize that you need to repent. You need to make a change, and you need to put God and his word back at the center of the purpose of your life. That's you. Raise your hand up. Put it right back down. I see yours and yours and yours and yours and yours. Yep. And your hand. I see your hand. God bless you. Come on, be brave. I see your hand. Come on. Lots of hands all over. You're not alone. I see your hand. You're not alone here. This is a safe place for you to do this. Thank you. One more time I'll ask. I feel like there's someone else. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I see your hand. God bless you. Good job. Be brave. Just one more time I'll ask. That's me. I see your hand too. Good job. Way to go. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now let's do this. Let's all pray together, right? We're going to make a joint confession. We're going to pray together. We're going to release our faith, right? Let's walk into the fire with the people that raised their hand. Let's believe with them. Let's repent with them. Ready? Say, Heavenly Father, I need Jesus. Jesus, you are my King, my Lord, and my Savior. You died for me so I could be right with God. And I take advantage of that. I receive it. Save me. Change me. From this day forward, I make a new decision to follow you. Thank you that I'm forgiven, that I am saved, and that I am changed. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, hallelujah. Come on, praise God for it.